world is waiting for you. And here she is, Suzanne Wright, Wonder Woman. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I love the bumper music. Thank you.
We finally got it right. How are you, Suzanne?
I'm doing great, Roy.
Russia is the topic today. A really nice article and Tri-City experience that you did, and drama, passion, and culinary delights. Well, one, you never miss the culinary delights, nor do I. Why don't you take it from there? You started out in St. Petersburg, I believe.
Yes. Terrific. Really what initiated this trip was my home city, Atlanta, has started direct service to Moscow. And, you know, it just struck me that that was a really exotic destination. And so I worked it backwards so I could have the direct flight flying home. So St. Petersburg, not quite as easy to get to, but usually connections through Paris. And it is an immensely popular city. It has become a port city for many of the higher-end, middle to high-end cruise lines. It's very European in terms of the way it looks. It might remind you of if you've ever visited Stockholm or even Venice, or Amsterdam. In fact, I took a picture, and a digital picture, and emailed it to a friend, and he said, I thought you were in Russia. What are you doing in Venice?
Yeah, well, because you say, it's perched on the River Neva.
Right. And tremendous number of bridges, actually more bridges in that city than any other city in the world.
539, to be exact.
Spanning the canals, and that was a surprise to me. I think it's a surprise to a lot of people. It's really a beautiful city.
Now, St. Petersburg was founded by Peter the Great.
That's right. That's right. And Peter had a lot of homesteads. So
Yeah, Peter was a pretty active guy, you know.
He was a conqueror.
Right.
So, you know, to the conqueror go the spoils, right?
Right. But you know what amazed me, that you say that it was just a half-hour trip by hydrofoil across the Gulf of Finland.
And it's beautiful. Actually, Helsinki is usually the stop on cruise lines that is made just prior to landing in St. Petersburg. It's that close. And for those of you who don't know, outside of St. Petersburg, in the quote-unquote suburbs, there are a ring of islands. And that's where you'll find Catherine's Palace and the Peterhof Palace and a number of different former royal or imperial residences that are available for us to stroll through nowadays.
You stayed at the Grand Hotel.
Oh, yeah. That was great. You know, it's pretty funny. When I was confirming my final reservations, normally the folks at Orient Express, who have picked up this property and now manage it, are very responsive via email. I went back and forth with the concierge via email. And a couple of days passed, and I wondered why I didn't hear anything, and I realized, oh, they're taking care of some of the G8 delegates.
Well, you knew right away.
That's it.
Now, it's the city's oldest hotel, is it not?
It is, and it's a beautiful hotel that spans a city block. It has a very elaborate facade, and interestingly, during the siege of, the city was formerly called Leningrad, so during the siege of Leningrad, it served as a hospital for, victims of the fighting. And now, of course, it's quite transformed and, you know, complete with red carpet and marble stairs and, yes, a marvelous caviar and vodka bar.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that. the vodka bar. I made a little note of that. I was going to bring it up in case you slipped over it.
Well, you know what was so funny to me and rather ironic is, so here's this incredible little jewel-like bar that has, I don't know, up reaching towards 60 very exclusive vodkas that you may not even find outside of the country, including some vodkas from Siberia and some house creations where they steep something like strawberries into the infusion, which is much, much better than, you know, what we get off the shelf. And yet the general manager was decrying the fact that he couldn't get a hold of Grey Goose because of import regulations.
How funny is that?
Isn't that ironic?
Amazing.
Amazing.
Well, you know, it was funny. When I was in Iran some years ago, they had caviar on the bar like we have peanuts. You know, you just kind of helped yourself with some crackers. And
it's a little more dear than that now, Roy.
Yeah, I suppose. You know, I have to count the years. Maybe I don't know how far back that went. And the last time we shared a cold vodka was at the Ice Hotel, and
that's
was served
right.
in a nice cube.
That's right. Well, and, you know, this vodka is served much like the experience we had in Canada, absolutely icy chilled, and it's bracing. But what I certainly learned, I learned two interesting things, is number one, if it's a very high quality vodka, there's none of that burning, wincing sensation that many of us have experienced with a lesser brand. And also, I didn't realize this, not unlike champagne, a really high quality, high caliber vodka can sort of span whatever food you order for a meal, you know, because you can have, obviously the glorious pairing is caviar in its many forms, or blinis, you know, with the creme fraiche.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can do lamb, you can do seafood, you really can do anything drinking really good quality vodka straight. No hangover the next day.
Yeah, they all say that. I always say it isn't the quality, it's the quantity. In any event, you went on to the market. I don't know if that slipped off my tongue kind of quickly.
Yes. Well, I love food markets, and anyone who's listened to the show when I've been a guest knows that I absolutely adore food markets, and I think it's a really great way to sample, you know, artisan products from the area. And so everything from the sort of end of season cherries to pickled cucumbers to smoked cheeses to honey dripping off of beeswax frames. It was incredible. And
lovely.
Of course, fantastic picture opportunities.
Yeah, there's some great photos. I'm glad you brought that up, because we always encourage everybody to go to the website and to click on Suzanne's article, and you'll see some really super photos. Now, where did you go from there?
Yeah, my friend Norman and I took a bus. It was about a 3.5-hour bus ride from St. Petersburg to a significantly smaller town, 200,000 people, a very historic town called Novgorod, and a very significant town because of its collection of remaining preserved 12th century churches. And we did overnight there, although it can be done as a long day trip.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I'm really glad we did that, because that was a different side of Russia to see, other than a very cosmopolitan city like St. Petersburg. This was truly, we were getting into the more resolutely Russian
right.
experience. And it was fun to take the bus, let's be honest. You know, you're rubbing shoulders with, I think we were the only tourists on the bus. It was a very local bus. And that was really interesting. We engaged a guide, a lovely woman, who really gave us a perspective we would not have otherwise had. And the folks at the Grand Hotel helped us arrange that, which was terrific, and I'd recommend that.
Now, at St. Sophia's Cathedral, you say you came upon a wedding that was taking place.
You know, it's just such a beautiful, feels special no matter where in the world you are when you encounter a wedding, doesn't it? And here we got to see the probably early 20-something bride and groom taking their vows. And it was interesting. The bride was dressed in a white gown, but it was her veil was sort of trimmed in blue. And she had a very young, what looked like a flower girl, who was in a brilliant red costume. And there was a priest, and it was very low light, lots of candles and lots of sort of babushkas, with their heads bowed. And it was very sweet, although obviously high Russian Orthodox couldn't understand anything, but certainly was a privilege to watch.
And what I thought was interesting, you had to pay a fee, a camera fee.
You know, that's becoming pretty common, I am finding, traveling in different parts of the world. Certainly that was true in India when I was there, a year or so ago, that you do pay a fee in addition to entrance. for the privilege of using a camera, and or even a steeper fee if you want to use what are those, handheld digicam things?
Yeah.
So, and you know, we're really talking fairly minor. I mean, couple of bucks. I mean, you've gotten yourself all the way over there. Don't begrudge them their camera fee.
It's funny you mention India. Peter Flaherty is, we've got a new show joining us. It's The Good Life, America's Dining and Travel Guide with Pierre Wolf, and they're on about 80 radio stations, and they're going to join our network, and Peter's doing a thing on Sunday between 3 and 5 Eastern Time. You know, he's just returned from India, so that should be interesting.
Very interesting.
Let's just move on here. If you go, you made an interesting statement, and it's very true in a lot of these countries, that if you're traveling independently, it is critical that you obtain a visa before you go.
Absolutely. Russia is not a country, like a lot of countries in, for instance, Southeast Asia, where you can purchase a visa at the border or at your point of arrival, which I'll be doing, you know, in a few months when I go to Vietnam. You cannot do that in Russia, and I will tell you my first application was rejected because I didn't have every single day accounted for.
Yeah.
I had my grand hotel in St. Petersburg accounted for, and I had my papers in order. I had the Grand Hyatt in Moscow accounted for, and that one day in Novgorod I didn't have accounted for. I thought I'd just do a pickup hotel, and nope, doesn't work. They rejected the application, and I had to make a reservation. So it is a little steep. The visa fee is $100 going through. I went through the New York consulate, but yeah, don't try to leave home without it. It won't work.
Exactly. Now we're getting a little short on time, but I'd like you to touch on Moscow, if you will.
Absolutely. I think Moscow, unfortunately, has become like a little bit of the poor stepchild to St. Petersburg's very glamorous shadow. And I must tell you, St. Basil's Cathedral, which is the fairy domes that you see in all the pictures, is iconic.
Right.
Walking the cobbled streets of Red Square is one of those unparalleled experiences that a traveler should have. Riding the Moscow Metro was incredible. I spent a whole afternoon doing that. I overthrew going to a museum to do that. And I actually felt I was in a socialist museum this is unlike any subway we Americans have ever been on, and it certainly is beyond even the Paris subway.
And you had one of the most spectacular meals, you were saying, at the Cafe Pushkin, is it?
The remaining old world civility. You know, it's a 24-hour service by white-gloved, tuxedoed gentlemen. There are no women. You're eating the classics, pelmeni, which are stuffed dumplings. You're eating borscht. You're having sour cherry dumplings for dessert. I mean, it was really a beautiful end to a day. And, you know, they're gracious about receiving the bedraggled travelers, so that's nice. Again, not in an expensive destination, the country as a whole, but, you know, well worth it. That kind of splurge, I think, is something that you keep in your memory.
When are you leaving for Vietnam?
That's going to be in mid-December.
Ah, that's a trip I'd kind of like to make as well.
Well, come on, I could use a Sherpa.
Okay.
I'm sure I can use it by the end of 4 or 5 weeks.
Right.
I'll have collected a lot of things.
Exactly. Well, we got to run, and all I can say is Nastrovia.
Nastrovia. Thank you so much, Roy.
We'll talk to you soon,
Have a
Suzanne.
Good one. Bye.
Right, thanks. Bye for now.